Good morning again. Now, who here has ever said, "I believe it when I see it," or something similar? It's an important part of our culture, seen as prudent and wise by most. There's even a state which models its slogan from it. Is there anybody here from Missouri? Their slogan is, "I'm from Missouri, and you have to show me." And again, that is seen as wisdom. We trust our eyes for good reason. We're wired that way physically. Some studies have shown that we receive almost 80% of our information visually, and that 30 to 40% of our cerebral cortex is devoted to processing vision, as compared to 8% for touch and a mere 3% to hearing. Which does raise some questions as to why I'm up here talking to you rather than showing you things. But it's what I've got. Even the closest followers of Jesus were not immune to this bias towards vision. Doubting Thomas and the disciples on the way to Emmaus are just two examples of many times in the Bible when people forced God to prove things to them by showing them visually. The Israeli nation in the wilderness, Abraham and Sarah, etc., etc. They've all called on God to prove himself to their sight, just as we frequently call on God to prove himself to us again and again. And why not? I mean, what kind of fool believes in things he or she can't see? Our popular culture tells us that's foolish. There are so many people out there to take advantage of us. Well, yet again, what God wants us to do is very different from the wisdom of the secular world. As he admonishes Thomas, what he wants us to do is believe without having to have it proved, without having to see it. In fact, the only way to see what God is showing is to believe. Jesus says this explicitly to Martha. "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Maybe, just maybe, God understands us better than we do ourselves. The challenge to prove something via miracles and signs is a trap. For the key to salvation is in belief, not in proof. For even though we say we'll believe something when we see it, we still hold on to our doubts. For we know that even the eyes can be deceived. Has anybody ever been to a magic show? If you're like me, you sit there and try to figure out how they do the tricks, knowing that there is some trick, some illusion designed to fool your eyes and make you believe the impossible. So when Jan and I were on a cruise recently, there was a magic show on there, and that's precisely what I did. We were seated pretty close to the front, and I could see some of the tricks that they were doing, or figure them out. It's like, yeah, when they bring those stairs up there, the girl isn't really still in the box. She slipped out underneath the stairs. And that's how they wheel her away, and she appears again later. Okay. Sometimes I can figure out, and sometimes I can't. But nonetheless, even though my eyes tell me something I don't really believe, that they have performed magic in front of me. I just think their trick was cleverer than I am, which is not too hard to believe. This was even true during the time of Jesus, when he was actively performing miracles that should have convinced anyone whose heart was open. And many were convinced and came to believe. But many others were not. Their hearts were hardened against belief, and they refused to believe their eyes or the prophecies or anything at all, even when God walked among them. Would we be any different as a society? I don't believe so. No, the key to believing is not in seeing, with our own eyes. For is not the glory of God's creation around us every day, and still some do not believe? No, the key to salvation is not in our eyes, but in our hearts, in opening those hearts to Christ and his message, in preparing the way for him. Then, only when our heart is open and we believe, only then will our eyes also be released from bondage to sin and be free to see the glory of God. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. And oh, what wonders we will see if we believe.